Welcome to you. If you're a new visitor this morning, we're glad you've joined us this morning. This is kind of the final week of one service. As Tom said, next week we'll be going to two services. So make your plans 9 and/or 10:30, and you can come to both. That's just fine. I know some of you love church, and so I'll be here for both. There'll be a lot of folks who are here for both, and if you want to, you can feel free to do that. So, but 9 o'clock or 10:30 next Sunday morning, we're excited about that to see where God is going to be taking us over this next kind of stage, this next chapter of our journey here. So join us for one or both of those two services. We are in the final part of our series. We're going to be starting something new next Sunday morning, pretty special, but we're going to talk this morning. It's our final week on the title of this message is A Gift for You, and we've been looking at spiritual gifts. This is part three of a three-part series on gifts that God gives us, not necessarily the gift of salvation, that is a gift, but this is additional gifts that God gives us for the benefit and the buildup of the body of Christ. And we talked about these gifts. They're given by God. They're determined by God. Sometimes we like our gifts. Sometimes maybe we'd wish for something else. Some of these gifts are for a season of life. Some of these gifts remain for our entire life. And many people have combinations of these gifts. We talked about 2 weeks ago how these gifts, there's four things that these gifts should have in common. Number one, they should be for the common benefit of the whole body. We've been given these gifts for everybody's benefit. They're going to take some energy, going to take some oomph, going to take some a bit of get up and go, but God gives us plenty of energy in the utilization of these gifts. It's going to take some humility. There's going to be times when using our gift doesn't feel so high and lifted up. It's going to feel a little bit lowly, and that's okay. And the final thing was these gifts can and should be satisfying and fulfilling to us. Now, I want to just throw something out there. Maybe your church experience, maybe in the past, maybe currently, is not the most satisfying or fulfilling. Now I understand that that could be a reality for many of us. Maybe our church experience has not been satisfying and it's not been fulfilling. Well, maybe a portion of that, maybe not the all of that, but maybe a portion of that dissatisfaction could be coming from not using the gifts that God has given us. Now, I'm not always even saying that that's necessarily my or your fault. I'm just saying maybe we haven't fully used our gifts. You know, the extent of what church is not what we're doing right now. This is not the extent. God did not create church. He didn't create this whole thing of ecclesia so that you could just sit and listen to me for 30 minutes. That's not why he created it. He gave every single one of us gifts that we are to use for his glory and for the good of the body. Everybody. Every believer in Jesus has something. And maybe in times and seasons where your church experience wavers and maybe it isn't as satisfying or fulfilling, maybe we got to stir those gifts up a little bit. Okay, that's why this is so important, because this is a big part of why we were put into fellowship together, is to use these gifts and build up the body. Romans 12, please, if you would. We're going to read three verses. We started this last week. Romans 12, starting in verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. That's the key to our gifts, the using of them. If prophecy, those are our spiritual warners, if you were here last week, in proportion to our faith. If service, those are our spiritual helpers in our serving. In the one who teaches, spiritual instructors in his teaching. I want to just pause for one moment. After last week's message, if you had any maybe thought, indication, something inside that you may be a teacher, that may be a part of how God has crafted you, well then, I'd like you to please let me know, because, or somebody in the office, because we may have a place for you. We may have some needs from a teaching standpoint that we'd like to chat with you about. So, anyway, those are the three we talked about last Sunday morning: the gift of prophecy or spiritual warning, the gift of service, the gift of teaching. Verse 8 is where we're going to focus this morning. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, we'll define that term in a minute. The one who contributes in generosity, that's giving. The one who leads with zeal is diligence. And the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Again, those are the four we're going to look at this morning: exhortation, giving or contributing, leading, and acts of mercy. For each one, we'll identify the gift. We'll talk about a common struggle that maybe we have, if that's a gift we possess. We'll give a proper perspective, and then we'll talk about our response. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. God, it is truly a beautiful day. I thank you for this fall, gorgeous day in the Northland. God, I can't imagine a much better place to be today than here. And to start off our day like this in your word and in fellowship and singing and praising, God, and then to be able to go out and enjoy this weather that you've created, the creator of all, God, it's just great, and we're thankful. Help all of us to enjoy a little bit of the leaves and the warm temps and the sun and all the beauty that you've given. Help us to enjoy some of that today. But God, in the meantime, open up your word to us. I pray that you would speak. Holy Spirit, be here with us. Do the work that you can do. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, four gifts this morning. We're going to go through these rather quickly. First of all is the gift of exhortation. If you're new this morning, in your bulletin, there's a green piece of paper. That's for keeping some notes if God speaks anything special to you this morning. We believe he's going to. The gift of exhortation, Greek word parakaleo. This is a really interesting, it's a great word. It's used a ton in the New Testament. Paul used it all over the place, over 100 times in the New Testament. It's a little difficult to define, I'm going to be honest with you. I went back to sort of the original Greek on it. I went back to Bible commentaries, Bible dictionaries, and I even talked to Mr. Webster, okay, to try to nail down. Here's my final definition of this word exhortation: to come alongside, to encourage, strengthen, console, or comfort. That's, I think, what the heart of this is: to come alongside someone for four possible things: encourage, strengthen, console, or comfort. These are our spiritual encouragers. Our spiritual encouragers. They encourage us to do the right thing. They encourage us to be who God has called us to be. They encourage us to keep going even when it's tough. And they encourage us with the hope that we have of heaven. Now, this could look something like this. I don't have my phone on me, but you make a phone. Hey, Pete, you know what? I heard you lost your job. Dude, I am so sorry. That's a total drag. I remember one time when I lost a job. Pete, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying for you during this whole time. If you need anything, Pete, you just let me know. I mean, if you guys are struggling, whatever, I just want to let you know I am going to be with you on this. Please know that. You know, hey, Joyce, his other phone. Hey, Joyce. You know, I haven't seen you in church for a while. I'm not hounding you or anything, Joyce. I just want to let you know that I miss you. Yeah, it's always so good to see you, and I just want to tell you that I just miss you, Joyce, you know, and I hope everything's okay. You know, if you ever want to grab a cup of coffee or something, but please know that you're missed and that I appreciate who you are. All right, here's one on your computer. Hey, Sherry, I just wanted to write you an email. It's the best I could do, okay. It's low budget, don't worry about it. Hey, Sherry, I just want to, you don't have to laugh. Okay, I know your family's been giving you fits, and I know what that's like, and I just want to, man, I thought of this verse when I thought of you, and I just had to tell you, you know, you can make it through this. You can do it. You can get through this time. All right, now, this is texting, not while driving. Hey, Tom, you know, I got nothing special here today. I got no agenda here, dude, but I just want to let you know I was thinking about you and praying for you. And here's a good verse for you. You know, I appreciate you. Smiley face. Send. That's the gift of encouragement. If you've ever had that happen, you know as well as I do that it's a gift, isn't it? When somebody encourages you like that, it is a gift from God through the hands and the words of a person. Now, some people do that really, really well and naturally. Do you have any spiritual encouragers in your life? I've had one in my life for the past 10 years, and this person, just on a random basis, will call my phone, leave me a message, just lifting and building me up for no reason. And then when this person knows that I'm going through a tough time, I'll get a call then too. Spiritual encouragers are that gift of people that can just lift you up. We love to be around these kind of people, don't we? Yeah, these are the feel-good ones. So what is the struggle if I have this type of gift? And is there any struggle? What's the struggle if I have the gift of exhortation? Well, this is a common struggle to all of us, but it's really important with this gift. It's the struggle of me. It's the struggle of me. If this is my gift, but I'm too busy looking at my life, I won't even be able to encourage or lift you up. If I'm so busy with me, wrapped around me, the world revolving around me, and I'm really liking the centerpiece, but if that's where I'm at, even if this is my gift, I'll miss you because the world is wrapped up in me naturally, very naturally and easily. I can be self-centered. I can be overly consumed and wrapped up in my own interests. That's natural. But if this is our gift, we have to have a different perspective. So what is our proper perspective with this gift of exhortation? Keep looking out. Keep looking eyeballs out rather than eyeballs in. Two verses that I loved. I've never thought of this one in this light before. But look at Psalms 122:9. Look at this verse. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. For the sake of the body, I'll stop worrying about me and I'll start seeking your good. Isn't that good? For the sake of the whole, I'll forget for a moment about my troubles. For the sake of the body of Christ, I know I have my own issues. And trust me, I do. I have things I'm struggling with, just like we all do. But for the sake of the body, I'm going to lay those things aside for a moment, and I'm going to focus in on you. And then 9 times out of 10, what happens is when I set those things aside, I all of a sudden get a new perspective, and things just get a little better. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. 1 Corinthians 10:24, another verse that talks about it in the New Testament. Let no one seek his own good. That's proactively being consumed with. Don't be proactively consumed with yourself, but the good of his neighbor. Our consistent look should be out for the good of other people. So what is our response then? What is my response when I have this natural, gifted person who just lifts and encourages me? What can I do with those people in my life? I think we can follow their lead. I think our response can be to follow the lead of those who are naturally gifted at building others up and encouraging them. We can follow their lead. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider, that word consider is a good word, how to stir up one another to love and good works. That word means I consider other people's good. I think about it, I dwell on it, I wrap my mind around your good more so than my. Now, is that tough? Can I get an amen on that? Because this sounds really good right up here as I'm speaking it, but then when all of a sudden I think I'm going home later, that's tough. Isn't it? It's not natural. It's very natural for me to consider my stuff and consider my good. That's why this has got to be a work of God's Spirit in us. But look at, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. That's the encouragement of why we get together regularly. We need each other. This is the picture of why we can't get into the habit of not coming to church. Maybe you've noticed this. You get into a habit one way or the other, and you'll just go there. You get into the habit of not coming, you just won't come. You get into the habit of coming, you'll just come. That's what he's saying. Make it a habit. Not a religious habit, a habit because you know what? Those spiritual encouragers are going to be here. And when you're having a bad day, maybe God will hook you up with one of those spiritual encouragers who can lift you up a little bit. And if those spiritual encouragers, if we can learn from them, look at this, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Every single one of us needs encouragement, and we can learn how to encourage by the ones who are gifted for it. The gift of exhortation or encouragement. Second gift we're going to look at this morning is the gift of giving. The gift of giving. This is spiritual givers. We all give and we all receive gifts. To some degree, we all are givers, and we should be, but some people give to a very special degree. And I believe they give to a special degree because of what they've been given to a special degree. Now, I've broken this down into three T's, and I'll define this in a minute. The three T's of giving: giving of your time, giving of your talent, giving of your treasure. Giving of your time, talent, or treasure. First of all, the giving of time. Some people have been given large amounts of time. You just have time on your hands where you don't have a lot of other things to do. If this is what you've been given, then that is what God has blessed you with. Then you need to give of that time. If you've been given time, then you need to give time. Now, how have I seen this play out, the gift of time here? I know there are prayer warriors in this body. I know that. I know there are people who have been given the gift of time, and they pray for this body. They take their directories, and they pray through their directories regularly. And if you have been given the gift of time, you haven't been given it for yourself. Right? You've been given it for the good of the body. It's not that you can't have some fun, okay? We all like to have fun. We can all do that. That's good. But if you've been given an excess amount of time, you've been given it for the benefit of the whole, for the common good. I know there are people who volunteer large amounts of time in this body, on the buildings, in the grounds. I see the ladies who come in once a week to the office, and they spend a half a day. They dedicate a half a day of their time to volunteer and answer phones and so that the staff can get some other work done. That's a gift of time. How about talent? Let's look at number two, the second T there. Second T is talent. Many different talents here. I was thinking about the musicians. Now, our musicians are very talented, and they give of their talent. But I was thinking that their talent is not necessarily the spiritual gift. Their talent of being able to play music, and that's not the spiritual gift. They take their talent, and their spiritual gift is the gift of giving. They give of their talent. A lot of people have talents, but not everybody's willing to give of them, correct? But their gift is the gift of giving of the talent that God has blessed them with, that they have worked on. It's the spiritual gift of giving. But we also have a lot of other talented people here. We have painters. You don't want me painting this church. Trust me. Trust me. Go look at my roof and the white gallon of paint that was spilt down my roof. It's a black roof. You don't want me to paint this church. Some people are just gifted. We have landscapers. Beautiful. Number crunchers. We have technicians. We have computer people. We have plumbers. We have people across the board who give of their talent. And if you've been given a talent and you give that talent to the body, that's the spiritual gift of giving. What's the third T? The gift of treasure. We all understand this one, right? This is cash. We get this. We're all instructed to give. We give because we've been given. We give back to the Lord out of the abundance of our heart. And even if we only have two little small copper coins equaling a penny, we still give. We all are to give. But some people have been given extra large amounts of treasure. And they then are to be spiritual givers with that treasure. Why? Because God has blessed them with extra. So what do? They give extra big gifts. Amen, administrative board? That's the deal. That's the spiritual gift of giving. If you've been given a lot, then you have the responsibility and the gift. It's not just a responsibility. Nobody's trying to get your money. It's a gift that God has given you to be able to give extra large amounts. It's a spiritual gift of giving. It's a blessing, and it's given for the common good. That's why it's given. So what can be a struggle? If I have this gift of giving, what can be a common struggle of having this gift? And this is time, talent, or treasure. I can be giving to be noticed. I can do my giving to be noticed. Matthew 6, verses 1 and 2, Jesus talking about this. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other men or other people in order to be seen by them. You don't do it to be seen. For then you will have no reward from your fathers in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you. Well, that'd just be obnoxious anyway. Could you imagine that? I'm giving a little, hey, anybody got a trumpet? I'm going to give a little bit here, so, you know, got to make, you know, that's an expression just saying, you know what, don't make a big fanfare. Don't make a big deal about how you give, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. You know, it's human nature for us sometimes to want to be noticed. And if giving is our gift, we can be especially vulnerable to that. It's normal. It's human nature. What should my perspective be? What should the proper perspective be? Anonymous generosity. Anonymous generosity. Like it said in Matthew, don't self-promote. Don't sound your trumpets. Don't self-praise. Now, in some cases, it's impossible for people not to see your gift. I understand that. There are some cases where it's impossible for people not to see your gift, and that's okay. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying don't go proactively seeking to get praise for yourself with your gift. It's not saying you have to be sneaky and hidden about everything. What he's saying is be as anonymous as you can, however you give, time, talent, or treasure. Now let's look at that generosity part. Go back to verse 7 from Romans 12. The one who contributes in generosity. If you have been given the gift of time, then give back the gift of time, but give a lot of it. Give generously. It's your gift. You've been given that gift, now give that gift. If you've been given a talent for the Lord, well then give the best of that talent to God's work. Give the best of whatever you have been given for God and for His glory. If you've been given treasure, well then give a lot of it. We know very clearly God can replenish that hand. When that hand is open, sow in those seeds, can He? Remember when we talked about that spiritual seed that God gives us? The more we plant it, the more we don't have to worry about that. If you've been given the spiritual gift of giving, give in a large, large way. So what should our response be to these givers? These spiritual givers, be doubly thankful. Be doubly thankful. We need to thank God, and then we need to thank the giver. That's the big G giver and the small G giver. Okay? James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is the ultimate source of every gift, and we thank Him first, and then we quickly thank the person who gave as well. Spiritual gift of giving. Let's look at gift number 3, the gift of leadership. The gift of leadership. These are our spiritual leaders. This is the authority picture in our lives. Some people combine this with the gift of administration that's talked about in 1 Corinthians 12. Administration. In life, some people are natural leaders. They just have the ability to get others to follow them. This can either be a good thing or a bad thing, can it? Haven't we seen poor use of a leadership skill? We've seen that. We've seen it in the church. We've seen it in the world. We've seen it in business. We've seen it all over the place. People misusing the ability to lead. Significantly misusing it. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't have leadership. Because God instituted leadership. He created it. So just because we've seen the bad examples of it doesn't mean we should pull back from it. Spiritual gift of leadership. This is a gift given to benefit the body. Now, there can be a difference between a leadership gift and a leadership position. Do you know what I'm saying by that? Some people are put into a leadership position without the leadership gift. That's trouble. That's not going to work. The goal is to find someone with a leadership gift and put them in a leadership position. What's the common struggle in leadership? I think every leader can hopefully relate to this. The common struggle in leadership is overcommitment. Overcommitment. The book of 2 Timothy, it's a great book of the Bible. It's Paul's last book. He's writing it to his understudy, Timothy, and he's passing on all of his wisdom and his guidance. Really, a lot of it is leadership principles that Paul is passing on to Timothy. He gives us 3 great analogies of what it looks like to be a good leader in the kingdom. We're going to talk about 2 of those this morning. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. As a soldier, civilian pursuits are not necessarily bad. They're just things outside of the focus. They are just things that are outside of the prime concern of a soldier. For a civilian pursuit is fine. But for a soldier, they need to stay laser-like focused on what they are to be doing. Now, leaders are often overcommitted outside of their primary role. I've seen this in my own life. what happens is people outside of the church identify someone as a leader, and they then want to put them into leadership roles outside of the big scope. Because a good leader is a good leader wherever they are, aren't they? And so what can happen with a good leader is they can get themselves involved in too many things outside of where they are primarily called to be involved. They get involved in too many civilian pursuits, not necessarily bad things. In fact, some of them are very good things. And leaders can get things done, and they can get things done with people and through people. And that's not a bad thing. But the struggle is when they get involved in too many things outside of their primary zone. We need to remember that if God has given you a gift of leadership, He has given it primarily for the sake of the body. That's why He's given it. For the sake of the whole. For the sake of the kingdom. That's why you have the leadership gift that you have. Overcommitment will make us tired, and it'll cause us to step back on some things that we shouldn't be stepping back from. So what's a proper perspective for a leader? Lead, feed, then lead. Proper perspective is feed, then lead. This is the second analogy, 2 Timothy 2:6. It's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Hardworking farmer, that's a picture of diligence, humility, which are all so important in a leader in the church. Diligence and humility, servant's heart. But look what it says, they ought to have the first share of the crops. As a leader must make sure that they are feeding themselves first from God's word, that's our daily manna, and Christ Himself is the bread of life. A leader within the church must be feeding himself first before he can feed and lead other people. So, what should our response be to leaders? I think this can be a struggle because of past poor experiences. But what should our response be to leaders in our life? Respect. That's spelled R-E-S-P-E-C-T. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. If we want a peace-filled family unit, now, we can have discussion, we can have differences, we can have discourse, we can have all of that stuff, and that's all good and healthy. But we need to respect those folks who have been put into a leadership role in our lives. We need to. We respect them and we esteem our leaders. Okay, let's look at our final gift. The final chapter this morning, it's the gift of acts of mercy. Acts of mercy. This is shown through compassion, care, and kindness. These are our spiritual caregivers. Spiritual caregivers. People with this gift will often notice and or feel someone else's pain. They will feel another's pain. They'll know when somebody is hurting, and they'll want to instantly get active and help. This is a wonderful, blessed gift. They are attracted to people who need help. And they have that gift of being able to feel that and know that and sense that and want to meet that need. Spiritual caregivers. Is there any struggle with this type of a gift? This is something I've seen in people's lives. Almost every person at one point who has this gift, I've seen this struggle. Emotional burnout. Emotional burnout. Look at what Romans 12, verse 8 says about this gift and the encouragement. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Instructing, if this is your gift, you need to stay cheery, joyful, and optimistic. What's going to happen is you are going to be surrounded oftentimes by people who are broken, by people who are hurting, by people who are sad. And that's a good thing because those people need your gift. They need you to be in their life when they are hurting, when they are broken, and when they are sad. They need that. But those type of life situations can drain you of your joy. They can cause you to become emotionally burned out. So what's our proper perspective if we have this gift of acts of mercy? We need to develop wise boundaries. developing wise boundaries. Proverbs chapters 1 through 8, if you start reading all 8 of those chapters, are all about the wisdom that we should have as followers of Jesus. And much of Proverbs 1 through 8 is filled with the wisdom and the boundaries that we need to establish in our life so that we stay healthy. 3 types of boundaries I think we need to have. Boundaries in our mind. Boundaries in our mind, where we say, I won't let my mind go past this point, because otherwise my mind will not be healthy and I can't even help anybody. I'm going to stop and control my mind and set up an emotional boundary that says I'm going to stop here. And I'm only going to get so far into this particular mindset, and then I have to set up a boundary and I have to pull back and I have to say it's enough. You don't pull out of the relationship, but you set up a boundary in your mind. I think you need to set up a boundary in your time. With people who are broken and hurting, you need to set up a boundary to say, I can only and will only spend this much time with this person. Some people, if you allow them, will take all of your time. Have you ever met someone like that? They are time takers. They have the spiritual gift of taking. I don't think that's a spiritual gift. But some people will take absolutely as much as you give them. And if you have this gift, if you have this gift of mercy and you're compassionate and you care, you will just think, well, I just got to spend as much time as they need. Well, you know what? They'll take all of your time and you really won't be helping them long term. You need to set up some type of a boundary to say, I will spend time, but I'll spend this much time. This is the amount. And then finally, boundaries in your heart. Boundaries in your heart. What you have to say is, I'll only get this emotionally attached to this situation. Because if I get more emotionally attached than this, then I'll start going down a road I shouldn't go down. And then I will become emotionally unstable through that situation and that relationship that I'm in. People need your gift, but they also need you to be healthy so that you can use your gift. Wise boundaries. What's our response to acts of mercy? Last thing we're going to talk about this morning. What is our response to these acts of mercy? Pass it on. Pass it on. This is the pay it forward principle. When someone does a kind, undeserving thing for us, it's a gift, but we can't always pay that back. We can't always pay back everything that everybody does for us, but we can thank them and we can pass it on. We can pay it forward. We can be merciful to others as others have been merciful to us. I'm going to close with a story. It's a parable that Jesus told from Matthew 18. And in this parable, there's a king. Jesus is telling a story of a king who wanted to settle accounts with all of his servants. And so the servants started coming to him one by one to settle up. They all owed him money, but they wanted to figure out how this king was going to... And so this first servant comes, and the king says, you owe me 10,000... 10,000 talents. Now, I want to tell you something about a talent. A talent was the largest amount of currency that they had, and 10,000 was the largest number with a name. The largest number with a name and the largest amount of currency. They've said if you pulled this forward to today's days, this servant would owe in the millions and possibly hundreds of millions of dollars to this king. A servant owing millions of dollars. Well, this servant falls on his knees, begs for mercy, and the king says, forgiven. Forgiven. Your debt has been wiped away. It's been washed clean. Well, then this servant who'd just been forgiven went out and found another servant who owed him some money. And this guy owed him 100 denarii. Now, a denarii is a day's wage. So that's still some cash. That's like a third of the year's salary. So it's a significant amount, but it's nothing in comparison to what he was just forgiven. He was forgiven of millions of dollars. Then he went out and found this guy who owed him a significant amount, but nothing. Well, what he does is he finds this servant, he chokes him, puts his hands around his neck, starts choking him, and then has him thrown into jail. Well, there were some good other servants who were reporters. Do you have any reporter servants in your house? families with parents. Yeah, we have some reporters. There were some reporter servants who came and told the master, and they said, "You know what just happened? You know, you forgave him the millions and millions and millions, and he went and strangled and he choked this dude, and then he threw him into jail. That's just not right. That's not cool." And the master didn't think it was cool either. And in Matthew 18, verse 32, here's what the master's response was to this servant who was forgiven of all of this but wouldn't forgive his fellow servant. Master said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave your debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" That's the gospel, my friends. That's the gospel. We have been forgiven of a debt that there's no way we could ever pay. We were that first servant who were, we've been forgiven in Jesus Christ for a sin debt that we could never, ever pay. Can I get an amen? We could never, ever, ever pay back what we owed to God because of our sin. And I'll be the first one to stand up here and say, I'll be the chief of sinners in that line. I could never pay back that debt. But then do I ever go out and find those who owe me something and put them into little prisons in my mind? Do I ever choke them in my mind? Do I ever get angry at people because of maybe what they owe me? Maybe they owe me an apology. You know, they owe me an apology. Well, is that really in comparison to what God has forgiven us for? We don't give mercy to get mercy. We give mercy because we've been given mercy. We do not extend mercy to get it back. We extend mercy because we've been given mercy. Amen? The gift of mercy. These seven gifts that we talked about over the last 2 weeks, these are all reflections of Jesus. Think about this. Jesus served us, the gift of service. Jesus instructs us through his Holy Spirit, the gift of teaching. Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, warns us, the gift of prophecy. The Holy Spirit and Christ comfort us, the gift of exhortation. Christ gave his very life for us, the gift of giving. The Spirit guides us, the gift of leadership. And Jesus Christ showed the ultimate act of mercy on the cross. The ultimate act of mercy on the cross. We're going to remember that gift. You know, every time we use a gift, every time we use the gifts that God has given us, we reflect Jesus. Let's use them. Let's use these gifts. This is a reflection of Christ himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do this day praise you and thank you for the greatest gift that has ever been given of salvation. Lord, we didn't deserve it. We could never pay it back. You mercifully gave of yourself and your son Jesus on the cross. And today we just want to say thank you. God, I want to pray if there's anyone in this room who has not received that gift by faith. God, today if there's anyone who is not at peace with you, dear God, the creator of this beautiful day and everything that we see out in creation. God, if there's anyone who's not at peace with you, we pray, God, today would be the day of their salvation. God, that today they could trust in you as the greatest gift and finally be at peace with the creator. Father, I thank you for the gift. I thank you that we can remember that you instructed us to. Lord, I pray this moment, God, for this time that we will remember the cross. We love you, dear Father. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.